The Gnostic Gospels were not the only Christian scriptures excluded from the Bible. For two centuries after Jesus died, different groups of Christians argued over which story of Jesus was correct. Historian Bart Ehrman studies these debates, and he's written several books about them, including Lost Christianities and Misquoting Jesus. Ehrman told Steve Paulson that modern scholars have uncovered a complicated history of early Christianity.
The old view of this was that Christianity had always been a kind of monolith, that Jesus had taught his disciples the truths and they wrote them down and that they'd passed on down to the churches, down to the present day. But in point of fact, it wasn't that way at all. The beliefs that Christianity inherited down through the Middle Ages to the present was one shape of Christianity that was floating around starting in the 2nd and 3rd centuries, but it wasn't codified until the 4th century.
So in other words, there was not just one brand of Christianity that was accepted right after Jesus died. I mean, these debates played out for 100 or 200 years after he died.
Absolutely. I mean, today Christianity is extremely diverse, but in early Christianity, the diversity was even more stark, with different Christian groups claiming all sorts of things about how many gods there were, who Jesus was, whether he was divine or human, and only one of these groups was the group that emerged as victorious and decided what later Christians then would believe.
Let's lay out some of these things. Who were some of the people who thought that Jesus was not really the Son of God?
Well, there were Christians who did not think that Jesus was divine. In fact, it looks like the very earliest Christians, the followers of Jesus himself, they were Jews, and it looks like they didn't believe that Jesus was personally divine. They thought that Jesus was adopted by God to stand in a special relationship with him. But for these earliest Jewish Christians, Jesus didn't pre-exist his birth. He wasn't born of a virgin. He was a man like everyone else who had been chosen by God to fulfill his mission on earth, which was to die for the sins of the world. One group of these Christians is called the Ebionites. It was a group of Jewish Christians who held to these beliefs.
Wasn't there also a lot of debate about how to reconcile Jesus with his Jewish background and what the relationship was between Jesus and his followers and other Jewish movements?
Absolutely. This group I was mentioning, the Ebionites, were one end of the spectrum. They maintained that Jesus was completely Jewish in every way, so that to be a follower of Jesus meant to follow the Jewish law. On the other end of the spectrum, there were Christians such as the second century theologian named Marcion. Marcion was maybe the most popular and influential theologian of the second century. He maintained that Jesus had nothing to do with Judaism or with the Jewish God, that Jesus came to save people from the wrath of the Jewish God, and for Marcion, there was another God, a different God, the God of Jesus, who was a God of love and mercy as opposed to the God of the Old Testament, the God of wrath.
Does that mean he wanted to get rid of the whole Old Testament to say that was not part of Christianity?
Absolutely. He was the first. Marcion was the first to come up with a list of books that were to be the Christian scriptures. He had 10 letters of the Apostle Paul, and he had one gospel that was very much like our Gospel of Luke, and that was all, saying that these 11 books that he had were the scriptures of the Christians.
Now, there are an awful lot of people today who maybe grew up Christian, but have a hard time accepting it because of the miracles. You know, the miracles in the Gospels, the virgin birth, the resurrection. I would think that these kinds of things that we're talking about have major ramifications for many Christians today, especially those with a more rationalist perspective.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that the problem is that a lot of the doctrines that became standard within Christianity were doctrines that you can show developed over time. So just taking the virgin birth, for example, for some Christians today, that's a central tenet of the faith, that you have to believe in the virgin birth, otherwise you're not really Christian. But the reality is that most of the authors of the New Testament, for example, don't say anything about the virgin birth. It's mentioned in only two passages in the New Testament, once in Matthew and once in Luke. And it's interesting when you compare the passages of Matthew and Luke about how Jesus was born, it's very hard to reconcile what these two authors say about Jesus' birth, even though they agree that his mother was a virgin. But other authors, such as the Apostle Paul, who wrote many more books than any of the gospel writers, says nothing about the virgin birth. And so the idea that the virgin birth is central is a later development.
What about the resurrection? Because it seems that is the core belief of Christianity, that Jesus died and his death and then resurrection is what brought us salvation.
Well, that's right. That's certainly how Christianity is interpreted today by most people, that without the resurrection, you don't really have the Christian faith. But it is interesting to note that in early Christianity, there were groups of Christians who said that the death and resurrection of Jesus weren't what mattered at all, that what really mattered was the secret teachings of Jesus, that salvation came not by Jesus dying on the cross and being raised from the dead, but salvation came by understanding the secrets that he revealed from heaven. These secrets were only for the elite, only for the insiders who could know the truth.
Is this the perspective of what's commonly called the Gnostic Gospels?
That's right. This is the view found in the Gnostic Gospels, including, for example, the most famous of them all, the Gospel of Thomas, which was discovered in 1945, which begins by stating that the one who understands the secret teachings of Jesus is the one who will have eternal life.
Now, there's another way to look at this history, and that is that there are very good reasons why the Christianity that we know today won out, and those other versions of Christianity were labeled as heretical. It's because the Orthodox Christianity that's been handed down to us was the correct one.
Right. Well, that's certainly what most Christians would probably want to say, is that this view won out because it was true. But that's looking at history from afterwards. It's hindsight.
So why did the dominant Christianity, at least the Christianity that we know today, why did that win out? Why did it shut out the others?
Well, it's a very good question. In fact, it turns out it's a very complicated question. I think each of the others had things about their beliefs and their systems that made them less attractive in the long run to potential converts. For example, the Jewish Christians who insisted that since Jesus was a Jew who followed the Jewish law, these people didn't have a lot of success in converting pagans or Gentiles to the faith, because it meant for somebody to be a follower of Jesus, if they were a man, they had to get circumcised. And that obviously wasn't a very popular option among most Gentile men, and it meant that they had to follow kosher food laws. So this form of Christianity, even though it might have been the original form of Christianity, simply wasn't destined to succeed because of its requirements of following the Jewish law.
Well, let's play the what-if game for a moment. Suppose one of these other versions of Christianity had triumphed. How would history be different?
Well, if Jewish Christianity had become the dominant form of Christianity, my hunch is Christianity would have remained a sect within Judaism, that it wouldn't have become a world religion. If the Marcion Christians had won out, things would be very different indeed, because then Christians would not have an Old Testament. They would not believe that the God who made this world is the true God. They would be trying to escape the creator God of this world.
And I suppose that if one of these other branches of Christianity had triumphed, then the Roman Emperor Constantine might not have converted to Christianity, and then there would have been this huge ripple effect because, I mean, it was really because he made this the religion of the Roman Empire, that's what spread it throughout the Western world. That's, in a sense, what turned Christianity into a major world religion.
I think that's right. I think it's impossible to imagine that Constantine would have converted to a form of Jewish Christianity or to a Gnostic form of Christianity. Christianity from the days of Jesus had grown steadily over the years throughout the empire. It started out as a very, very small movement. According to the New Testament, after Jesus' resurrection, there were his disciples and a handful of women who came to believe. So maybe, 20 people were actually believers at the very beginning. By the time of Constantine, maybe 5% of the empire at the time was Christian. But once Constantine converted, it became clear that being a Christian wasn't something that deserved persecution, but in fact was worthy of reward. And so people converted in masses, so that by the end of the fourth Christian century, fully half of the Roman Empire was probably Christian. So if it wasn't for Constantine's conversion, Christianity never would have become the major religion in the empire, and the Western world wouldn't be Christian.
Now, I know a lot of Christians would say all this history that we're talking about really doesn't matter. What matters is faith, not history, and either you believe the Christian doctrine or you don't. How do you respond to that kind of thinking?
Well, my view is that history really matters and that it's important to know where your beliefs came from. They didn't just drop from the sky one day after Jesus died. The beliefs that Christians have today have historical roots, and it's important to understand those roots to have an informed faith.
What does that mean, though? I mean, suppose you do understand this history that we're talking about and you are a Christian, you are a person of faith. I mean, does that change anything? Does that change what faith means to you?
I think it's very important, because otherwise, if you're simply believing because somebody told you to believe, which person do you trust? Do you trust the televangelist? Do you trust your pastor? What if it had been a different pastor? Do you trust your parents? How do your parents know? It's important, I think, to have reasons for what you believe and to understand what you believe. Otherwise, you're just believing in ignorance.
Professor Urban, thank you.
Thank you.
Bart Herman chairs the Religious Studies Department at the University of North Carolina. His books include Lost Christianities and Misquoting Jesus. Steve Paulson spoke with him.